Amit Marwaha here, Director, Investor Relations and Finance at Telarian. Today I'm here with Mark Stubbe. He's the head of our Strategy and Business Development Group. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
We've had you on the road with some investors in and around North America over the last few months. You have some appreciation for the questions and kind of the insight for what investors are trying to understand with trying to handicap the second wave of LNG projects. Just want to prick your brain today and kind of discuss some of the work you're doing in terms of developing the strategy, the developments of Permian-related logistics and infrastructure, things like that. I guess firstly, the question we get a lot coming through from investors who are used to the more traditional SPA tolling model is, what exactly is the commercial logic behind this integrated strategy? What's the need for change at this point? Can you walk us through that? What was the inflection point or the reasoning for the timing at this point in the cycle to go towards an integrated model?
The timing was really driven by just opportunities that the market has given us from the production side, the pipeline side, and just the low costs that we've been able to achieve in our EPC contract with Bechtel. So it was just a confluence of those three different things that really said, hey, we have an opportunity. And the opportunity is really to bring low-cost LNG to the market. The current structure is all about a index-related Henry Hub plus a adder of whatever that may be for a capacity payment to the owner of an LNG liquefaction facility. So we looked at that and said that can be beaten by a low-cost provider, particularly in the United States, where you have access to all the needed levers to bring the cost down, and therefore you'll be competitive internationally.
And how, like, there's some concern out there that getting into the midstream and the upstream adds additional complexity. In your opinion, you've done a lot of these projects within larger organizations and smaller ones, as well as going further downstream. Can you talk about that in terms of organizationally managing the structure, financially, the complexities of taking on, I guess, the midstream portion and the upstream? Is that complexity that much more difficult, or how would you manage that, or what don't you think the market fully appreciates, at least within North America, given this is like the first large project we've seen like this?
Well, the way you've teed that up, it sounds like the market perceives this sometimes as an either or. And it's really not, right? If you're in the business of procuring gas to take as feed gas to your LNG facility, you're going to contract either on a pipeline or with the midstream company, mm-hmm. if the gas is, let's say, liquids rich, in order to process that gas and get the gas to move it to your facility.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're building the pipe or contracting the pipe, there's still a level of complexity that you're going to have to deal with. And to me, it's really, again, a build-buy decision that we have to make that says what's going to create the greatest value for Telarian. And in our particular reasoning around our value proposition, it's build, but build selectively where you can achieve a competitive advantage to your peers and your competitors, and then the rest you may contract for. So it's not either build or buy, it's, well, we'll build when we need to and it's economic and brings value, and we'll buy when it does the same. So it's you can't avoid the complexity. And right. I think what happens here is that you just have to be selective in what you take on and what you are staffed to manage correctly.
Got it. That's really helpful. It sounds like what you're saying is that we've delineated a lot of the risks associated with the midstream and the development of the shale within the lower 48 over the last decade. And you will have to deal with that complexity whether you're doing a tolling or SPA model, but integrating it allows you to, I guess, optimize the operation. Is that the right way to think about it?
It is, and as you know, we have an open season for the Haynesville pipeline. We have an open season for a Permian pipeline. You have not seen us have an open season for a Marcellus pipeline or a Utica pipeline, right. or a SCOOP/STACK pipeline. And I think what we've tried to do is, again, as you just talked about, be selective. What's being developed? What's the timing of that development? Where are constraints in those developments? And how can we take advantage of those to bring cheap feed gas to our facility and thereby deliver low-cost LNG.
Got it. I guess on the back of that, let's go down the road of the Permian pipeline. Everyone knows the basis solutions. Volumes are going out there really quick. Can you give the audience a flavor of the discussions you're having there with the off-takers and the producers in terms of how are they looking at that solution? You've seen basis widen out, will continue to widen out, volumes will continue to grow. How are they thinking about it? It seems like it's a timing issue, but the necessity for a logistics solution over time is growing by the day. Can you give us a sense of what these discussions are like? And
it is a timing issue, I think, Amit, but it's also a capital allocation issue for the producers. Now, if all the value in your particular holdings are going to be, the value is in the oil, then you're going to search for the oil solution, the oil takeaway solution first. If it then falls to the next value creation is the natural gas liquids, that will be your next value solution. Last on the list, and maybe it should be a little bit further up potentially, is gas. And I think a lot of the producers look at gas as creating some value, but it's not going to create the value that the liquids in their particular play are going to create. So what you've seen is the capital allocated or the contracts that they're willing to sign to be more focused on the liquids and not so much on the gas.
Right.
That's the first order. You have to be able to evacuate that.
Right.
Then after you're evacuating the product of value, you have to be able to have flow assurance, and that's when the pipeline networks become important. So as it happens many times in life, it's a little game of chicken as to who's going to move first, but I do think that there's enough pressure now that the evacuation of the gas is important because of other environmental factors, maybe in the Permian, that now that has become the leader of things that either need capital and or will be contracted for by the producers.
When you think about the discussions you have, is it a balance between how they weigh the offtake for crude, gas, and NGLs, or is there certain over the last several months where you've seen gas move up the priority scale? What does that discussion look like, or how is that kind of moving target adjusted over the last several months?
I do think you're right in that it's, if your sense is that things have moved up a little bit for gas, I think that's correct. Mm-hmm. I think part of that is just the price of the barrel of oil.
Right.
And I think that's driving the realization that this infrastructure constraint for gas may come a little bit sooner. And in a high price environment that you could, high prices meaning in the $65 to $75 range, if you can take advantage of that for a year or a year and a half without being constrained, that's probably an opportunity you want to take advantage of. Therefore, you do move your gas group up to maybe look at more and deeper solutions, meaning just strictly a volume takeaway.
So you've worked on a large number of small, medium-sized transactions, even small deals. You've done many of these over your career. I guess the question we get, or there's always a sensitivity of timing of when commercial deals get announced. Given the integrated nature of our solution that we're providing versus an SPA or tolling agreement, give us a sense for how you think the timeline is for the additional complexity of a partnership agreement, having upstream, having molecules, a pipeline, so on and so forth. Do you think it materially adds to the timeline of negotiating a structure and the nuances regarding an agreement like this? Or how would you handle that?
Initially, I think your sense there is right. Initially, if you're alluding to it may take a little bit longer because there is additional complexity, I think that's true in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've reached the point of saying that I am an equity investor, then the alignment of incentives is good for both the seller, Tellurian, and the buyer, whoever that may be.
Right.
And then I think that does accelerate, actually, the rest of the work that needs to be done, whether it be completing an SPA or other agreements that may be part of the equity agreement. I think once you reach the part of, hey, we're partners, then things move fairly quickly, because a little bit of the confrontational part of the bargain becomes, hey, we're partners, and you're incentivized to work things out. And that's when the acceleration takes place. So yes, in the beginning, because it is a little bit new, it is different.
Right.
It does take the buyer's teams a little bit more time to absorb some of the complexity. But once that's happened, it moves fairly quickly.
So it's probably fair to say from what you're saying, the nature of the contracts are similar. You've seen these globally, but given it's a new offering from a team that's been around a bit, I guess, less longer than other projects around the world that are either in brownfield or phase two, it might take a bit longer to get up the learning curve. But once you're there, the process is largely the same. Is that the right way to think about it?
It is. Once you've achieved understanding,
right,
it moves fairly quickly. People are then aligned, and it happens.
Got it. It's really helpful. I guess just the last question. You've been in a number of meetings with us with various types of investors, and people have different perspectives in terms of how they play the LNG thematic trade. In your experience negotiating these types of structures and deals, what do you think the average investor perhaps misses in terms from the company side in terms of optionality or how these agreements are structured, an average one versus a really good one where you materialize some optionality over time that you might not necessarily see with other projects which are just trying to get to the finish line quicker and looking at a very simple solution, in your opinion?
One of the great things about the energy market in America that's different than any other place in the world is that, number one, it's private, but number two, it offers more alternatives to execution than any other place in the world.
Right.
And I think that sometimes is undervalued by the investment community. They've seen it a little bit on the crude side, although some of that is even lost occasionally. But as you look at America today and where energy is gone, you can see a complex now coming forward that a lot of the integration and how the value is created is becoming more transparent to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So as you look at, take Saudi Arabia as an example, they've worked many years to integrate their value chain, whether it be petchem or refining. And you look at America, America already has that and has had that for many years.
Right.
The big difference right now is that you have enough product and enough supply that you can fully integrate the chain, whether it be importing, exporting, taking the greatest value on liquids, taking the greatest value on the conversion of gas, the greatest value on the conversion of oil.
Right.
It creates great value. No place else in the world is this available to you, or the options that allow you to make different choices at different periods of time in the market.
Right.
No place allows you to do that.
I think that's a really good point. It's just hard, I think, for perhaps investors to look out that far because they've divided up the industry in so many different segments. But I think you make a really good point where you have the ability to extract a lot of value as opposed to the traditional model where you might only be capturing economics from one portion of the segment.
And you look at, I mean, take something simple that sometimes goes unnoticed, the expansion of ethylene crackers in America.
Right, great point.
So you're going to need ethane.
Right.
So if you need ethane, then gas needs to flow. If gas is flowing because you're feeding other systems that will be exporting products from America,
right,
that feedstock probably becomes pretty cheap to you depending on what basins you're trying to reach or what basins are going to feed your facility. So it's a great opportunity for Tellurian, and I think that's the part that's maybe a little harder for the investor to understand.
Right.
But once you talk about it a little bit and you give them other reference points, they get there pretty quickly. It's like anything, it's just communication.
Right. On that note, thank you for your time, Mark, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great, Amit, thanks.